beginning is wisdom. Proverbs 4:7 says the beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom, though it costs all you have. Though it costs everything you have, he says, get wisdom. So I want to take those words that I mentioned to you a few moments ago, and I wanted you to think with me about them, and then we want to see how wisdom fits into it. One of the words he gives is the word instruction. You students at our college, you are in a situation where you're given instruction. You have a professor who teaches you. They instruct you about certain things. And you sit there and you listen and you receive that instruction. Now, that instruction gives you knowledge. And knowledge is the ability to understand a certain task. And now I remember going to college. I remember going to high school. There are some classes, let's be just frank about it. You just want to get the information, give it on a test, and in 2 weeks you don't remember any of it. There are some courses you've had like that. But if you're going to have wisdom, that's not the way you can do it. Getting instruction is someone instructing you. My friend in the morning reading his Bible was getting instruction from the Word of God. He was getting instruction from the Holy Spirit. But also it leads then to this idea of knowledge. You have knowledge in your mind. I remember my good friend Woodrow Kroll was putting together a project called Helios, where he was going to put together a number of commentaries on little discs, small little discs, to go overseas to many different pastors. And it went into a very unique ministry. And he said, I have all of this knowledge in my head. But he said, how can I take my knowledge that's in my head and somehow get that out to a pastor overseas? And that's the way he did it. So you have this idea of instruction, then you have knowledge. But there's another thing the Bible speaks about here, another very important characteristic, and that is understanding. Understanding means when somebody tells you something and you've learned it, you don't know it until you've done it. You have to understand. If somebody wants to tell me this is how you put together an automobile motor, he can tell me all he wants, as long as he wants. I'm not going to understand it until I try to do it myself, and I may not be able to do it. But there's understanding that comes along with that. So understanding is the ability, it's the idea that you will be able to put together what you have been taught. And I must tell you this personal illustration. My wife and I recently moved to another place where we live here in South Florida. We really enjoy it here. And when we got here, like so often in a home, there's something wrong. The hot water heater, it's not going to work. It actually works, but it's ready to run out. So I called up a man who's a good plumber friend of mine. I told him what was going on. And so he sent his assistant out. And he had the assistant put in the hot water heater. I was away at a meeting when he came. And I came later in the day. My wife had already paid him. But I noticed something about the hot water heater. It was a beautiful looking hot water heater, I guess, as hot water heaters look. But as I was looking at it, the thing did not work. It wasn't working. We weren't getting any hot water. So I called the fellow to put it in. He told me several things to look at, and nothing was working. So the man who's the boss of the company, I called him up, and I explained everything. I answered all of his questions. He said, the problem is, now, can you believe this? He said, the problem is the circuit breaker's not on. I said, oh, yeah, the circuit. I looked at that. So one of the first things I looked at was the circuit breaker. He said, no, I'm telling you, it's not on. Now, he's the man that knows the business better than the guy who installed it, and much better than the guy who's paying for it, who was me. So he said, you go check that circuit breaker. I went and checked. Would you believe it? He was absolutely right. And what I would say to you is that he had, in that field, the wisdom, because he's done it for years and years and years. He not only understands it, but if it's not going to be fixed, he'll know that. He had the wisdom. So students, when you take a course and you've got instruction, and then from instruction you go to understanding of it eventually, from knowledge to understanding, that's a big part of your life, but it's still isn't wisdom. You see, all the understanding, all of the knowledge, all of the instruction comes up short of wisdom. The Proverbs puts it this way in Proverbs 16:6. It says, how much better to get wisdom than gold, to get insight rather than silver. And so what are you saying here is this? You're saying, you know, money is important. Everybody seems to want some money, but better than that is wisdom. That's what Solomon knew. Remember that story where Jesus was speaking about the two men, one built his house on the sand, one on the solid foundation, and he spoke about the wise man. Remember his children in Sunday school were singing those songs about the wise man built his house upon the rock? Well, that's what the wisdom is. Let me give you one illustration, then we'll go to the second point, which is the key to what I want to talk about today. So first of all, I want to say to you, you've got to pursue wisdom. You've got to want wisdom. You've got to want wisdom, the Bible says, more than gold. When I pastored in Florida at the New Testament Baptist Church, we had several people in our church that were former football players. And two of them played for the University of Alabama. They became really good friends of mine. And when they were there, there was a very classic coach that was leading them. His name was Bear Bryant. He was one of the great coaches of football. One of the historic great coaches of football. They told me many Bear Bryant stories. And the two things they knew about him, that he really loved the players. But secondly, he was really hard on the players because he wanted them to do their best. He wanted them to win. And he told, my friend told me the story one time in a football game. They were toward the end of it. And it looked like the game was just about over. And he told his quarterback, don't throw the football. Well, the quarterback had his own idea, so he threw the football. And when he threw it, the other team's fastest defensive back intercepted it. And he was running for a touchdown, and the quarterback caught him and tackled him. It was amazing. And afterwards, the coach Bear Bryant was asked by the press, how did your quarterback, who wasn't very fast, catch that guy? And Bear Bryant said, well, he was running for a touchdown, but my quarterback was running for his life. And that's really a lot of wisdom. Wisdom is the experience you have, the experience you capture. So the second point today is not only pursue wisdom, but to understand wisdom. It's found there in verse number 5. It says, in verse number 5, it says, let the wise hear and increase in learning and knowledge, and the one who understands obtain guidance. I want to give you a quote from writings of John Piper. He has written a book called The Great Work of the Only Wise God. And this quote really sums up what I want to make clear to us here today. He writes this, wisdom is to know the greatest goal in any situation. Wisdom is to know the greatest goal in any situation, plus the best way to achieve that goal. In other words, you've got instruction, you've got knowledge, you've got understanding, but wisdom is when you do it over a lengthy period of time. Another way to look at understanding is this. It comes from the knowledge of the Holy One. It's the instruction to teach and to lead. It's the instruction of understanding and telling why things are the way they are. Wisdom explains the big picture. And you young men that are going to be pastors, I want to say this to you. You've got to learn to see the big picture. People get caught up in a lot of minutia all the time. They get caught up in just things. This isn't working right. We got to make a big deal out of this when the big deal is the big picture. And that's a principle I think that we need to learn in life. And if you're going to Christian ministry, you need to really, really learn that. It's understanding what wisdom is. There are a lot of definitions of wisdom, but if you don't have instruction, if you don't have knowledge, and you don't have understanding, you'll never have wisdom. Wisdom is prefaced by those things. Stories told about a man who saw a big building being built, so he stopped to talk to some of the bricklayers what was going on. He went up to one bricklayer. He said, what are you doing here? And the fellow said, well, I'm laying bricks. And he kind of looked at the guy almost indignantly. What do you think I'm doing here? I'm laying bricks. He went to a second bricklayer, and he said to him, what are you doing? He said, I'm building a wall. Look at this big, magnificent wall that I'm building. See, the first bricklayer was on the process of instruction. The second one was in the place of knowledge and understanding. But he went to a third bricklayer, and he said, what are you doing? He said, I am erecting a cathedral. In other words, that's the big picture. I am building a cathedral. So instruction, knowledge, understanding are very important. But again, the fella that was the key guy to understanding how to be putting in a hot water heater, he had the wisdom. And you see, wisdom is something you develop. Wisdom is something when you hear a certain subject brought up, you automatically go to the end of what it might look like and gather your steps to get there. Wisdom is so vitally important. Now, here's the third thing. What does the fear of the Lord have to do with wisdom? What does the fear of the Lord have to do with wisdom? You notice many times the Bible speaks about the fear of the Lord. And there's many ways to define the fear of the Lord. It means respect. It means to be in awe of God, is to be in reverence of God. It means to fear God. There's a fear of God. There was an article I read just recently. It was a very sad article about a well-known pastor of a large church, a mega church in America, who got himself into trouble and was in prison. He had embezzled some money, and it was kind of a sad story. And one of his dear friends went to visit him. And he said to him, he said, when did this all start going bad for you? Now, I want to say to you, students, there'll be people who say bad things about you all through your life. If you're going to live for the Lord, there's got people not going to like you. False things will be said about you. But you still got to make sure you're living a clean life before God. Even when things are said falsely about you, they did that with Jesus. But with this man, he had embezzled money. And this is what he said to his friend. And the answer was, he said, I always loved Jesus. I never stopped loving Jesus. It wasn't about loving Jesus. But he said, I got to the point where I wasn't fearing God. And I thought I could cut corners and get away with things. And I want to tell you, friend, you can't do that. I can't do that. What does the fear of the Lord have to do with wisdom? It has everything. Understanding that wisdom truly comes from the hand of God. Here's the fourth thought I give to you today of wisdom. It's the source of wisdom. The Bible says here the word Lord is used down in verse number 7. It's the Hebrew word Jehovah. In the Jewish language, many Jewish religious people will not write that name. It's a very sacred name. They put in letters YHWH, and that is what it's supposed to mean to them, a proper name, but they won't give it. But the source of wisdom is God. And the book of James, again, puts it this way. If any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all that are looking for it, and it will be given him. But when you ask, he says, you must believe. You must ask in faith and not be wavering, not doubting. Because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. So the wisdom that we need comes from God. Now, there are some issues that you're going through in your life you don't have the wisdom for yet. And that's true with me. It's true with all of us. There are some things we really wish we knew what the wisdom was on it. We don't know yet. But experience will tell us. Time will tell us. Your testimony will tell you eventually. But the source of wisdom ultimately comes from God. All good things come from the hand of God. Then the fifth thought I want to give to you on this today is this. Don't ever forget this. The faithful fail. We have all failed. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:19, the highway of the upright turns aside from evil and guards the presence of life, whoever guards his way. We want to be careful guarding our way. Be careful of the friends you make. Be careful of the people that you're with. Be careful of the kind of associations you have. Remember in Jesus' ministry of those 12, he started with 12. It's all he had. Look at it today. It's done pretty well, hasn't it? But he started with 12, and there were three of them that were a little bit of a concern. Peter, who became the apostle to the Jews, one of the men used of God. There was Thomas, the great doubter, who went to India, did a great work there. And there was Judas Iscariot, who ended up being a failure. We all fail, but you don't have to live in failure. Sometimes the instruction that leads to knowledge, that leads to understanding, has along that route some failures. It's okay. Don't throw the towel in. Don't give up. Knowledge comes, but lingering behind it is wisdom, and we need to stick with the wisdom. I want to give you a very interesting poem I read on this subject the other day by Alfred Lloyd Tennyson. It says this: knowledge comes, but wisdom lingers, and I linger on the shore, and the individual lingers, and the world is more and more. We may come into knowledge that we attain even to maturity, but it is a deeper kind of knowledge which we call wisdom that remains the most valuable. From the hand of Alfred Lloyd Tennyson, Lord Tennyson. It's what he wrote there reminds me of something about how we get to wisdom. Think with me for a moment of Jesus on the cross. When Jesus was on the cross, we had the instruction that told us that was going to happen. It came from the prophets. The prophets said over and over again, Jesus himself told his disciples constantly, I'm going to die. And they kept saying, not a good plan. Do something different. Set up the kingdom. That's not the way to go. He gave instruction. There was knowledge on the cross when he said those famous words, tetelestai, which means it is done, it is finished. He gave the knowledge. He said, listen, this will never have to happen again. This is a once-for-all transaction. And then there was understanding. And the understanding is when you and I understand that that was for me. It's not just a death. It was not just a martyr. It was a death for my sins. And then the wisdom is when you and I understand the whole world needs to hear that message. And that's a message just not for me now. It's a message for the world. And I need to tell people of the world about it. The New Testament word for wisdom is a very interesting Greek word. It's Sophia, S-O-P-H-I-A. I remember as a child, there were many Sophias that went to our school. That was a very popular name back then. It means skillful, it means intelligent, it means wise. And the Bible tells us that there's one and only one that has this perfect wisdom. That's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I'm going to encourage all of our students and all who are listening today, that many of you that are watching right now on our Facebook page, thank you for watching. I want to encourage all of you to have wisdom. And wisdom just doesn't fall in your lap. It begins with instruction and then some knowledge and then understanding. But experience of life, we begin to learn to have a lot of wisdom. And sometimes we look at the older people around us and we say, well, they're not as sharp as they used to be. But I'll tell you one thing, they're a lot wiser than the younger people because they've lived a life that brought them there. So you better listen to them. You better take their wisdom to heart. It's well worth having. Wisdom is the principal thing. Knowing God through wisdom. Let's remember this well today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our chapel today. Thank you for our wonderful students. Thank you for the many that joined us now on FaceTime and Facebook today. Lord, use this time in our hearts to seek wisdom from God. May we understand that wisdom is a process. Wisdom takes time. May we look at those Proverbs in a different way to see not just the word wisdom, but instruction and understanding and knowledge and see how they fit together. Instruction leading to knowledge and knowledge to understanding and then understanding doing it enough gives us wisdom. For this we thank you, Lord. Bless our students now in a wonderful way, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you all. Great, great seeing you all. We love you all. Mike, are there any other announcements?
No, we're good. Thank you for that great message.
Thank you. God bless you all. Love you. You and Facebook, God bless all of you as well.